Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Dear Diary, it's the fourth day in December and I'm already broke and I have no clue what am I going to do for Christmas. I have no idea and the pressure vacations just keep getting worse and worse. I'm at that point where I'm about to stop viewing people's status because people are having a good time. And I'm stuck in winter. My party is going to be somewhere in January. That's when I'll just start going out to go and chill because I know that I'm just going to be alone in most, at most of these establishments. That's because I'm not very good at groups of people. Not very good. The 30 minutes to an hour, that's how much of a group I can tolerate. Then I'm out of there, straight home. Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut. And as always, I'm here until the hour of 6, giving you information like Dwight pointed out, information you did not know you needed to hear until you do. And today's discussion is coming from one of those countries that a lot of people can't seem to find on the map, and one with a very peculiar map on its own, and that's the country known as Lesotho, or the Kingdom of Lesotho. Turns out they still have monarchy or constitutional monarchy, I think. Although that's an African Union level discussion, aka that involves they're discussing matters. The event is running until the sixth. But one moment.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear or favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets serious. You talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. I'm really, really, really bad at multitasking. Like, I'm that bad. So when I started my show here and my lovely techie wife now is calling, I thought there was something that she wanted to sort out technically. It turns out maybe it's just her pocket that's still in love with hubby and it's just a misdialing. So moving on. Yeah, I didn't mean take, turn off my mic. Sorry for yelling that all that hello in your pocket, all that hello in your ears. That's the country. So where are we? The country of Lesotho and the ongoing African Union level discussion, which means it also, it also concerns us, aka Namibia. But this is a discussion that basically concerns everyone, but the scope that we are going to be talking about it, that I'm going to be talking about it here on Home Run, is more just confined to the African continent. The African child, the 46th ordinary session of African Committee. Of African Committee of Experts on the Rights and Welfare of Children. That's another, call it an agency of the African Union, and which is just looking up for future leaders, because let's face it, we're all born, grow, and then we kick the bucket at some point. So that means it's always important to make sure that we have a legacy of everything. We have a group of people to carry on the legacy of everything. In every organization, especially those ones that are more social in operation, more like in agenda or things that they do, the youth are important. There's a reason why every political party that is made out of smart people has a youth group. Every church has a youth group. Why? It's because if you want the idea that you hold so dearly to go on to the next generation and the other, you want to train the youth to carry on that idea. I know African leaders are allergic to that, especially there by Cameroon. 95 years homeboy still running for office. Like at 95. You're running for office at 95. What exactly do you want? Like, that's loving power to a whole another level. Like, first of all, if I'm ever reaching that age, I want to be at the farm with my grandkids. Oh, that age most likely great grandkids too. I don't want to face the whole problem of basically being in public office is a serious headache, guys. All I just do is read reports. And I already have a headache. I can only imagine the people that are occupying this office. Like, it's nuts. First of all, you are leading people. Let me repeat that again. You are leading people. These are the people that were, according to Christianity, were created by God, and even he himself looked at them and went like, yeah, I know where I'm being near these people. And went to heaven. We Christians don't even know where that is. Well, there are a bunch of debates on where it is located, but we don't know exactly where it is. And, you know, God created, 32 teeth, 2 legs, created lions, hyenas, snakes, and it was perfectly fine. Then created human beings. Big mistake. Worst mistake of his life. Started doing the opposite of everything he asked us not to do. So being in public office, I think for me, is the worst thing you can do to your heart, to your heart and blood vessels. Forget mayonnaise. Forget steak. Forget cholesterol. Think public office. Public office will give you cholesterol just by sitting in the office without eating anything. 1 week later, heart attack. So, you can't really satisfy people. That's the problem. Take for example, we have over, last time I checked up, just a little over 10 political parties in Namibia. Irrespective of which political party takes office, someone is always going to complain about that particular party. We are people. It's what we do. Complaining is what we do. Actually, we complain so much, it's hard for any genuine person in public office to know when someone is genuinely complaining and when they are whining. It's not easy to tell. So for me, public office, I don't know. I mean, I like the SNT and all the travels and all that, but, well, that comes with a serious trade-off of your heart and the blood vessels. Now, this discussion that I'm just, that I'm just referencing here, is taking place, and it's running until the 6th of December. Now, listening to it, the thing is, Francophone countries that basically participated and, participating in this discussion. And, I didn't run into a lot of, Anglophone representatives, at least not a lot of them. But there's one gentleman from Mali that was actually spitting points, but he was speaking through a translator and the sound was just didn't come out right. But I really wanted to sort of like just cut out a piece. So the sound was just, made me lose the whole idea of trying to use his snippet for my show. But, one thing that, there was one lady from, Cameroon, also, French was being spoken there, and she also made a lot of, very nice points, albeit she focused much on, on things like child marriages and stuff. And the Cameroon, and now, the Malian guy, mentioned two things that caught my attention, two things that made me want to use his, his voice on my show. And those two things are, litigation, more like courtrooms that are basically strictly for child abuse, more like child problems related issues, like things like child labor, child marriages, and stuff. Because when they are gathering at this event, that what they are talking about now when they are gathering here at this event, as you could basically tell from the name of the organization, African Committee of Experts on the Rights and Welfare of the Child. I decided to add the African Child because, I mean, it's an African organization. Yeah, duh. If a child is on the African continent, then they are neglected. Mm-mm. No, if the child is on the African continent, these laws applies to them. We are not just going to let kids be abused because, that child is being abused. First of all, check their ID or more like documents. Are they African? No, they are not. Then what, go nuts with whatever abuse that you need. Like, what would that make us? That would make us worse than, a bunch of guys that sailed halfway across the planet to come and colonize us. Now, the discussion here, this event basically brought together experts, stakeholders, and representatives from across the continent, across the African continent, to discuss, a number of things, including child labor, child marriages. It turns out, thereby child marriage, it takes a thief to know a thief. I don't know if that's a true saying, but, when I came on that child marriage thing, I was like, look, at some point in my very, self-colonizing mind that I have here, I always thought, you know what? Things that are very morally and legally questionable, like child marriages only take place in Africa. What's wrong with Africa? No, it doesn't. So I had to remind myself, relax. These things take place everywhere. Now my favorite was one very nice article that was written by an opinion piece by Nicholas Christoph in the New York Times on the 1st of November, 2025. Why do we allow child marriage in America? I was like, we? Thank God I'm not there, but if this was written by an African, I would have gone with, who's we? You are not going to we me in something that disgusting. Why do you say that? So now, but anyway, the opinion goes something like this. Bridget Combs was 11 years old and living in Los Angeles when her mother found a prospective husband for her. You found a prospective husband for an 11-year-old? Okay, at this point, at least we know that the mother is nuts. Let's talk about this potential husband. Now, if someone came to me and told me that, I've been listening to your show. You sound like you're a very funny guy, which I am. Sound like you're also a very smart guy. I'm very good at convincing people that I'm smart. Genius level on that one. I would really want you to marry my daughter. Now, let's say you managed to convince me, using a lot of money, to marry your daughter, and then this daughter shows up to be an 11-year-old. What conversation are we supposed to have about anything, let alone marriage, with an 11-year-old? Finger painting? That's the evidence. This is what's going on in my head when I'm reading all this nonsense. Oh, that guy is married to who? To that kid there on a swing. Are you, at this point, everyone will look at you and go like, we are not asking for your permission on this one. We are calling the mental hospital, whether you like it or not. Because clearly, that's the only solution to this problem. We're not negotiating out of this because there is no negotiating that is needed on that. You are supposed to know an 11-year-old is supposed to be somewhere at school practicing finger painting and doing, making dumb childish mistakes that you made, by the way, 100 years ago when Moses parted the Red Sea. Now, the mother and father, turns out there are two parents involved in this, so at least there is consensus on something, ridiculous though it may be. The mother and the father were in the Hare Krishna movement. Of course, it's going to be religion somewhere, they're involved. and says that as a result, she was never allowed to attend school and was extremely sheltered and was supposed to marry young. Yeah, I know. It's very important to marry young. Marrying at 11 is not marrying young. That's marrying as an infant. There's a difference. Turns out, well, Mama and Papa here with old people. Well, growth, mental and physical growth is not directly proportional in all people. In some people, it's inversely proportional. In other words, the body grows and the body grows up. The mind grows downwards. Because if you need someone to explain to you that marrying, that itself is disgusting. Marrying an 11-year-old is nuts. You need a mental hospital. Oh no, it's our culture. I don't care, she's 11. Now, don't get me wrong. I read a bunch of these stories. I like documentaries. I like a lot of them. Isinoe, the sister of Cleopatra the 15th or something, married her 9-year-old brother. She was 16. Now, according to Egyptian tradition, Ptolemy died, when he died, he left the throne to his son. Had three kids, Cleopatra, Isinoe, and you have Ptolemy. Cleopatra was the firstborn from the look of things, and then next came Isinoe, the middle child, and then the third one was the boy. And boys are very important in cultures across the planet. When it comes to inheritance and everything, power, it's always the right heir to the throne. Well, the Ptolemaic dynasty here had a boy in their bloodline. So that was a perfect idea. But according to Egyptian tradition, you cannot ascend the throne without getting married. That's tradition number one. Which makes sense. You know, you want a man who is going to focus on running the country, not also suffering from jolo. Imagine your king going through a heart attack. He's, you know, going through a breakup. He's going to start executing people left, right, and center. That whole idea of you cannot ascend the throne without getting married. It makes sense. And then came tradition number two. A person from a royal family was known as, you know, was looked at as someone with a divine genes from a divine family. They are known as, you know, gods. They are immortal. Therefore, they can only marry their fellow mortals, aka divine royal. It was all a bunch of nonsense. But the point is, as a result, poor 9-year-old Ptolemy could not go out there and find a wife at the age of 9. At the age of 9, I was worried, at 9 years old, I was wondering why the moon was following me. Like, marriage? Are you kidding me? I didn't think about, actually, I was running away from girls my entire high school, like, let alone 9 years old. So, Ptolemy marries his 16 years old sister. Yeah. Just picturing that bedroom, I already need therapy. Okay, let's come back to the African Union. Because that is just nuts. But anyway, one thing that was pointed out by the representative from Cameroon was child marriage. The gentleman from Mali, the one from Cameroon was a lady. The gentleman from Mali pointed out one thing. Prosecution. Prosecution must be streamlined when it comes to sensitive cases, especially those that involve children. I'm like, my man. Now, back to the story that in case you are thinking, no, these things only take place in Africa. My way, Africa, black people. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Wherever you, now, more often things like child marriages are motivated by either religious beliefs or cultural influence. One of these two. It has always been, 90% of the time it's influenced by the two and drug addiction. None of which makes sense. Nope. So, here's the thing. back to our poor 11-year-old Bridget Combs, who was in an arranged marriage discussion. Actually, 11-year-old, you don't have any discussion with an 11-year-old. But here's the thing. The man was 26 years old and a Krishna devotee, and everything was set for marriage. These are parents in the US arranging marriage between their 11-year-old daughter with a 26-year-old man, just because he's a very good, I mean, this man goes to our church. I mean, he never missed church and he's a very good preacher. Therefore, I mean, we will just marry our daughter, this one. Okay, let's just do some 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. It will take that poor kid 7 more years to be legal. Oh boy. But before we continue, we are going to take a short we're going to take a short commercial break. Before that commercial break, we already have one coming up. If you just tuned in, this is Home Run with Helmut on Eagle FM. And today's menu is the 46th ordinary session of the African Committee on of Experts on the Rights and Welfare of the Child. And the 46th, and this is being held in Maseru, Lesotho, and it's been running from the 26th of November. This event is running longer than I expect. Now, the 58th SADC Parliamentary Forum Symposium that's ending tomorrow, taking place in the South African Parliament in Durban, South Africa, has been running from the 30th, and it's ending tomorrow. And then you had the digital agriculture, one that I wanted to talk about today, and then I figured I talked about agriculture like 2 days in a row. I didn't want to be an agriculture expert. So I just decided to bring it. I was this close to talking about the, economic, slight economic implications of the rising tension between Venezuela and, between Venezuela and the U.S. It turns out it's not a big one because, Venezuela has basically already been crippled under sanction. They don't participate in the global economy that much. But there's definitely something to talk about there. Especially unless, if you look at it from the perspective of how that, undermines international, the credibility of international institutions, because you have a president of a different country telling a president of a sovereign country to step down from office. And, the Venezuelan president is calling Maduro a colonizer. The Venezuelan president, that's Maduro, is calling Trump, that he has a colonialist agenda, and you have Trump calling the Venezuelan president a narco cartel boss. It's like kids, except they're not.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
So, you've got everything sorted for tomorrow?
Yeah, man. Meat, spice, poik is ready. Even got some playlists lined up, bro.
And the crew? They're all coming, right?
Howie, everyone's in. It's gonna be lekker.
Wait. What about the tassies?
Bruh,
you can't get without tassim, bruh. It's like cabana without salsa, dog. Tassenberg. Best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back, and we continue. If you just tuned in, this is Home Run with Helmed on Eagle FM. So, the 46th ordinary session of the African Committee on Experts of Experts on Right and Welfare of the Children. That is just one ASRWC. Like it, the abbreviation is just making my head spin. So, you have a lot of discussions going on across the continent. It's like it's not the festive season, but you have to understand that diplomacy must go on. Diplomacy must go on. So in these discussions, almost broke my technology. Anyway, In 1990, African leaders adopted the African Charter of the Right and Welfare of the Children in Africa. And it, So they met and made commitments on how to protect the African child. Now, the charter speaks to a unique economic and social and cultural realities of African children, especially as it relates to things like social and cultural practices. Now for social and cultural practices, you are looking at things like child marriages, and also Africa is conflict ridden zones, and you have now that's where this organization is needed now, because to one of the biggest issue this continent has is child soldiers. We have child marriage and child soldiers. Now, that's something now that is a very, that has been one of Africa's biggest problem for a very long time. And it's still a problem to this day. I was actually, shocked to find out. When something is not happening in your country, it's very easy to go like, this is not happening. It turns out it is. Still happening, and the statistics are mind-numbing, which we are going to dive in with the numbers coming out of the Institute of Security Studies, South Africa, Pretoria. I know there's guys have a headquarter in South Africa and one in East Africa. I'm thinking Kenya, but I'm not sure about where they have their East African HQ. Now, the child soldiers. Now, according to the Institute of Security Studies, Africa's youthful population, which is about 40% of 40% of Africa's youthful population, is made up of under 16. Africa's largest population is made out of youth, and 40% of the large youth of Africa's large youth population is made up of. is made up of children under the age of 16. Now, these are the people that basically should be in school. Now, these children in most parts of the African continent have seen a rising violence. Now, war zones are not for anyone, especially children. War zones are not for anyone, especially children. As a species, I think, it's natural for, it's natural for any species. Anyone that have, it's natural for any species to protect its young and vulnerable. Now, if you have seen Anyone that have been to the farm, or anyone that owns, you know, pets, like, you know, like dogs, for example, you know that, when your dog has just, you know, has just had its puppy, they become very aggressive and very defensive. It's the same with cattle, especially the breed that is, that you find in a lot of communal land areas. Okay, nice weather coming to winter. Now, and one thing, now, one thing you'll also, you know, you'll also notice that is that, all animals in the animal kingdom, let me just say most, if not all animals in the animal kingdom become very defensive when it comes to protecting their young ones. So, human beings, we are similar, we're just similar. We protect the young and defenseless. Unfortunately for us, our biggest problem is we have to protect our young and defenseless from us. Kind of like hippos. Now, when it comes to, when it comes to things like child soldiers, the Institute for Security Studies, paints an interesting picture with an article that they published on the 7th of January this year. It's titled "Keeping the Spotlight on Africa's Child Soldiers." As violent instability and instability rises, African countries must reaffirm their commitment to protecting children and support DDR initiatives. Now you have to understand this article came out just around the time that the Goma Rwanda DRC situation was now just hitting a critical point. The article goes on to point out that roughly 21,000 children have been recruited as soldiers by government forces and armed groups across Africa in the past 5 years. This is from 2020 to 2025. That's 2020 to 2025. And in 2020, around 337 million, according to the article, 337 million children lived within 50 kilometers of active conflict worldwide, with 118 million in Africa, where one in six risked being recruited. Child labor is one thing, but child soldier, that's a whole different type of labor. Because you are literally being given a gun to go and start killing before you start, you know, before you know how to read. Which is just something else. Globally, top 10 countries worldwide for child recruitment in 2017. Oh, there's a whole graph there. But before that, before we get to that graph, the globally part. Globally, in 2021 alone, 6,310 children were drawn into conflict zones, with Africa accounting for 40% of global child soldier population. 40%! Global comparison, 40%. I'm pretty sure if you just look at these numbers closely, South America is not lagging very far behind. A lot of countries in South America are not lagging very far behind. Now, from 2005 2022, over 105,000 children were documented as recruited by armed forces and non-state actors. Rebels. That's why they're non-state actors. Rebels. Non-state actors in conflict zones worldwide. And Africa is no exception. Now, the top 10 countries that came out, according to the Institute for Security Studies, when it comes to child soldiers, where you have Sudan, with a very large number of about 2,000 numbers on average. And you have South Sudan, which is not surprising. And South Sudan right now is one of the hottest places militarily on this continent. And it's some of the most gruesome pictures of that will basically deter you every time you think about turning your country into a war zone can be seen coming out of South Sudan. And then you have one country I did not expect to see there, and that was Nigeria. That's when, until I came to realize that Northern Nigeria has always had these militant guys running around, a bunch of trigger-happy guys running around there. And DR Congo, which was not surprising, because you're looking at Somalia. Yes, Somalia is leading that chart. Somalia is leading that chart with 2,000. With over 2,500. Now this is just in 2017. In 2017, worldwide child recruitment, worldwide child soldier recruitment. Somalia recruited upwards of 2,500. And then right next to that was South Sudan, recruiting just upwards, Somalia was upwards of 2,300. South Sudan is just a little north of 1,500. And DR Congo just a little north of 1,000. And then you have countries like Syria, Yemen, Afghanistan, Iraq with which are basically left in gray by the ISS report, because our focus here is on Africa. And then you have the last one on the list. You have Central African Republic. I didn't see that coming either. Central African Republic. Like for me, Central African Republic, every time I think about Central African Republic, I think about Central African Republic in the 1980s era, because I'm a huge fan of John Bedel Bokassa. And actually his story of how he admired the French so much, I'm pretty sure he wished he was white. And also a dictator. Minus typically, what are some of the reasons why these children join these groups? Is it because these kids just play too much video games, or they watch too much Mission Impossible? This is where the whole case of child soldiers now becomes a compound of of laws, both national and international, being broken. Because it turns out minors typically join armed groups through abduction. And I have a problem with that English. Join through abduction. You are not joining through abduction. You are being forced to join. You are being made to join. You are being made to join. Anyone that has seen the movie Agent 47 knows, you can easily get a picture of how these things take place. Which is why I think every time we think about, just how gruesome this world is, you begin to think twice about, should I have kids? And if I have them, you are worried sick about where they are all the time, because this world is sick. Commercial break.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
And welcome back. We continue. And from here, we transition to my favorite part, which will bring us very close to home, and that's child labor. Now, for me, especially in a lot of war-torn countries, child labor and these child soldiers is very intertwined. Although you can easily ask yourself one question like, okay, who is really paying these poor kids that are given, the trauma of having to deal with guns at an early age? Child marriage, that one is also, has also been addressed here at home several times. That's gonna be the next part. Minors typically join armed groups through abduction, coercion, and recruited as soldiers, lookouts, porters, spies, cooks, or unfortunately, sex slaves. Girls are especially vulnerable and compelled to work as spies, cooks, and fighters. Some are forced to marry combatants. Yeah. Look, man, if you think your life is difficult living in this very wonderful and peaceful land of the brave, it's very easy to compare yourself to, you know, to someone who is living in Denmark, someone who's living in Singapore, but have you compared yourself to someone who is currently in South Sudan? Because that's the only way you're going to realize just how easy you have it. You don't see it if you just keep pointing to the UAE and Shanghai and New York. You are not going to see how privileged you are about your position right now in this country. But if you just look at what's going on in Sudan, South Sudan, not much, but Sudan, right now, I'm so glad I'm not in Sudan right now. Because, you know, I like routine. I wake up, work, home. A little bit of a movie here and there, then work, home. Movie here and there, work, home. A little bit of go-karting here and there, work, home. You have this routine. And you have a predictable schedule. That's one thing about, one thing about peace that we basically take for granted. You have a predictable schedule of where you are going to be tomorrow. Take, for example, you have already made your holiday plans. If you are in Sudan, being driven left, right, and center by the rapid support forces, you don't know where you are going to be the next day. You are here today, you are here this hour. The next hour, you are on a different location. Maybe a different location in Sudan, or a different location spiritually. In other words, you live in a space where you can have breakfast with your relatives here at home, here on earth, and then the next hour, you can have lunch with your relatives here on earth, and then the next hour you are joining Father Abraham. Okay, that's not funny. Sorry. Anyway. So, compare yourself with people that are in conflict-ridden places, then you will basically realize just how easy you have it. I'm allergic to that. You can't say that in a war zone. In a war zone, you're not allergic to anything. Whatever you're allergic to, you can't find help because guess what? The hospital is blown up. And even if it's not blown up, chances are very high it's being run by people that are more qualified to pull the trigger than they are to prescribe medicine. So, whatever allergies your relative has, they will have to figure out a different way of dealing with it. If they have, take for example, they have asthma and they run out and you're in the middle of nowhere, chances of you losing them are extremely high. Because you can't just, you can't just dial a Yango and then get you to the nearest pharmacy because, well, guess what? That pharmacy is also up in flames. And now you are raising these kids that are most likely not going to know how to read because they're not going to school. You want to teach them, but you are more focused on protecting them than giving them knowledge. It's a war zone is an ugly place, very ugly. It's very nice when you're watching it from a movie and the main character is just walking there with this bomb of flame behind them, explosion and all that, with their glass and stuff, and they have very cigarette in one hand and they're holding a gun in the other, and they're very nice, you know, beautiful girlfriend is on one side. Yeah, welcome to Hollywood. But the reality is wars are ugly. Now, anyone that have seen the movie, something like Come and See? Yeah. Is it Come and See? Yeah. Come and See is an, Come and See is described as an anti-war movie that was made in 1985, I think in the then Soviet Union, if I'm not mistaken. Now, that movie is gives you somewhat of a picture of to some degree of just how different wars are from what you see in a movie. I know I'm referencing a movie, but they just try to draw, you know, to point out to you that whatever you have seen in the movie, and if you have ever pictured yourself with a gun, you know, strolling around in a war zone shooting quote unquote bad guys. Yeah, war zones are a nightmare, to say the least. So, you know, if you want to remind yourself, if you are in this land of the brave and you want to remind yourself about how privileged you are, you have to understand that you have made holiday plans of where you're going to be this holiday. You know where you're going to be tomorrow. What you're going to do next year, New Year's resolution and all that. People that are in war zones, they will give anything to have those plans, but they can't have them. Because, well, the guy running the country is more trigger happy than, you know, cares more about, you know, pulling the trigger than they do about democracy. So, momento, s'il vous plaît. There we go. We're still with the Institute of Public, Institute of Security Studies, on the subject of, child soldiers. And that's not a very good picture, because what's being painted here, especially when it comes to Africa, is topping the chart. The top four countries that dominate in child soldiers are all African: Somalia, South Sudan, Nigeria, DRC. Albeit DRC is most likely going to move a couple of steps downwards if it haven't ready, you know, on that graph, because this graph is from January. And as we have seen, the guns that the African Union failed to silence before 2021 were silenced by the US and the UAE this year. They didn't want to talk to each other in Addis Ababa. They didn't want to meet there. I'm talking about the Rwandan and the DRC president. Kagame and Tshisekedi, they didn't want to deal with each other because, well, I mean, this is just, I mean, I can't do this. It's like, yeah, and then the UAE was like, oh yeah, both of you, come here. Boy, did they hop on planes. I don't understand African leaders at all. I don't at all. Now, in 2022, the United Nations Children's Fund provided a reintegration or protection support to nearly 12,500 former child soldiers and informed over 9 million children about avoiding explosive remnants of war. It's estimated that over $1 billion were needed to meet the protection requirement for children in armed conflict by 2024, increasing to 1.37 billion by 2026. Now, this is where we begin to fail now, because most of the programs that were referenced in this 46th ordinary session in Lesotho, most of those events were funded by guess who? GIZ. Yeah. It's like, we had this program. We need money. So far, we only have this program. And this year, we had this and this program. This year, we had this and this program. And they were funded by GIZ. I was like, huh? So I'm like, so you guys just know how to buy, you know, blue Lamborghinis and then custom license plate Range Rovers. You don't have money. You don't have money to fund your own projects? If you ask me, we have a lot of money on this continent to fund our own projects. We just don't care. We don't care at all. We don't. Because, if you send your kids to Ivy League schools, and you go for shopping in Paris, and you have a house in Switzerland, of which you spend about half the time of your presidency there, you don't have the money. It's not that you don't have the money. You have the money. It's just that your priorities are more egotistic. Are more, as long as I'm comfortable, I don't care who else is suffering. That's us, by the way. By us, I mean Africans. That is exactly us. We just go like, as long as I'm now in this position, I don't want to say anything that will make me, make me ruin my bread. I'll just, keep turning a blind eye. Again. Kenya. And Masai Mara controversy. Now, look. I really want to understand Kenya because I really like Swahili. I really want to understand Tanzania because, again, I really like Swahili. Except these two countries this year have just given me one disappointment after another. Tanzania, election, no explanation needed there. Kenya is the Marriott, the Marriott Hotel, the Carlton Group of Marriott Group of Hotels. Someone set up a hotel, more like a resort, because this is a village-sized resort in the middle of a major migratory route for wild animals. And everyone thought that was going to be a brilliant idea. None of them is in kindergarten, by the way. Engineers were called them, and geological surveyors, you can imagine, and environmental experts were involved. One thing they all have in common is that they were all given shut up money. That's the only way to explain. And someone was just there signing all those construction, construction permits and then putting on a stamp of approval. And now everyone, even tourists are asking, that's the most embarrassing thing, because even tourists are asking, who gave them the construction permits? And whoever they are, didn't they just see how ridiculous that idea was gonna be? It turns out, that's where you miss the point now. It's not that they didn't see that that was going to be a dumb idea. They were this close to seeing, point of correction. They saw that it was going to be a bad idea, and then they were given an envelope that made them stop seeing what a ridiculous of an idea that was gonna be. And then they became, seeing blind.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
The best connections and moments are worth remembering, don't you think? Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic drinks, Heineken, Savannah, Vintage Original, or Vintage Lemon, anytime, anywhere. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Welcome back. We continue. Child soldiers, big problem on the African continent. We are the top four global child soldier recruiters as a continent. We are the top four countries that is topping the list on a global child soldier recruitment list. Child soldier recruitment statistics coming out of Africa. Ubuntu. I am because you are. That's how we are. That's us in theory. In practice, we can backstab each other big time. Now, let's talk about child labor. Oh boy. The child labor part, it's important to realize that, child labor is something that is an interesting discussion to have in a sense that it's very easy to basically call it, call everything child labor, including when a child is helping at home. But this is where the International Labour Organization now just decided to make that categorically clear that not everything what is child labour? International Labour Organization article here. Not all work done by children could be classified as child labour. Now, that statement made me realize that, okay, first of all, these guys understand that International Labor Organization, international is a very wide geographic, geographic, tribal, and racial spectrum that we are dealing with. It's a very wide one. So in cultures like those ones that I know are very prevalent in the African on the African continent, children helping their parents is not unheard of. So the clarification there that child labor is, the clarification of that the International Labor Organization makes is that not all work done by children should be classified as child labor is very, 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 very important to me. Not all work done by children should be classified as child labor. That is to be targeted for elimination. The participation of children or adolescents above the minimum age of the minimum age for admission to employment in work that does not affect their health and personal development or interfere with their schooling is generally regarded as being something positive. There are a few key words there that basically they dive into a little bit of a detail when they are trying to sort of like describe what should be referred to, or more like what constitutes child labor that needs government intervention in terms of prevention and rescuing of basically everyone, all the children involved in that particular activity. And that is a The keywords that I want us to pick from there is that is one of any type of work that does not affect the child's health, the child's personal development, or the any type of work that does not interfere with their schooling. Three key main points there. Any type of work that does not affect their development, in other words, their kids. You can only be a kid once. Let kids do kids stuff. You're not supposed to be marrying any 11-year-old, you idiot. Can I imagine, what do you even call? No. I know what I call my girlfriend. Hi, Annie. Good morning. That's very easy. Any 11-year-old? Hi, Annie. Goo goo gaga. Oh, dear. Boy, oh, boy. I'm running out of there. Now. Good night, my love. Ouch. An 11-year-old? Jeez, man, you need prayers. Forget the Father, forget the Son and the Holy Spirit. The prayers you need must come straight from the big man himself. So, three main points. The type of work must not interfere with the child's health, must not interfere with the child's development, aka growth, both mentally and physically, emotionally, and all that, and must not interfere with their school. If it's if that type of work is negatively impacting their health and it's interfering with their with their development, in other words, they don't have time to be a kid, and it's also interfering with their school, that can easily constitute child labor. So that means this whole December, if you start coming from your hostel and you're going, rah, 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 child labor, no one is interfering with your school. Oh, yeah, go and plow. No sense. The term child labor is often defined as that's the International Labor Organization, not Helmut, not Eagle FM. Huh. And we're so proud of us. The term child labor is often defined as work that deprives children of their childhood, their potential and dignity, and that is harmful to physical and mental development. Yeah. Harmful to physical and mental development. And then they go on to explain that it refers to work that is mentally, physically, socially, or morally dangerous and harmful to children. Ish. In Africa? Yeah. Really have to look at, to relook that list and redefine it, because have you ever done plowing? I started plowing at a very early age. And I didn't turn out to be a serial killer. I'm perfectly fine. This whole thing of, oh my God, I don't know all these things because my parents were not there to teach me. You see that thing that you do in the bedroom? Who taught you that? But you managed to master it on expert pro max level. And you want people to see your life. If you can teach yourself that, you can teach yourself anything else. I'm not saying you shouldn't take instructions from your parents. I'm just saying every time that I hear someone saying, I don't know how to do this because my parents didn't know how to. Like, okay, maybe. Yes, we're going to blame those parents because they should have been there. But really? That's the only reason you don't know how to do it? Really? Nah. You could have taught that yourself if you wanted to. You just didn't want. One thing I know I taught myself, actually me and my homies playing around and goofing around, basically being kids. I mean, I was given the privilege to be a child, and I have a lot of memories as a kid. Learning how to ride a bike is one of those. I have a friend, very huge Herero guy. He's the best driver I know. Doesn't know how to ride a bike. I laugh at him all the time because, well, on the road, if he's behind the wheel, oh, I can sleep. Well, look, he's a maniac when it comes to speed. He respects the speed. Let me not snitch on us. Now, speaking of which, is festive season, drive safe, guys. Drive safe. Don't drink and drive. Especially my gender. When we are behind the wheel, we feel like we are surrounded by angels singing hallelujah. You are the mighty. You are the mighty. Drive as mighty as you want. Therefore, you won't die. And then the idiot dies. And everyone goes like, God has called him. According to Museveni, that's where the Ugandan president Museveni will go like, is God bored? Or why is he calling you? Like, it's a very genuine question at this point because you don't know how to sing. You can't tell a story to save your life. And you have zero talent. Why the heck would God call you? I mean, I would understand God calling Michael Jackson because, I mean, the man is one heck of a dancer. But you? Really? Called you to go and do what? It's a Christian somewhere, you know. Spraying holy water on his ape praying for me. I receive amen. Amen in Jesus' name. Anyway, child labor refers to work that is mentally, physically, socially, and morally dangerous and harmful to children, and or interferes with their schooling by depriving them of opportunity to attend school, obliging them to leave school prematurely, or requiring them to attempt to combine school attendance with excessively long and heavy work. A lot of Africans can relate when it comes to that one. So I went through that. I'm like, this must have been written somewhere in Geneva, Switzerland, because in Africa, easily relatable. Very easy to relate. But anyway, child labor is something that basically threaten the child's, health, the child's mental growth, the child's, and it deprives that child the opportunity to be a child and also the opportunity to be at school. Can I do my homework, Mom? Sure thing. Doing dishes is not child labor. Thank you. Unless you are told you are not going to school today until you clean these dishes. Then first of all, that parent needs a hospital. Second of all, after hospital, they will need prayers. Third of all, after those prayers, mental hospital. Now, moving on. So the point you have there is, child labor. Child labor is, you know, is well explained in, by the International Labor Organization as to what constitutes child labor. Again, can you please pass me that plate? It's not child labor. Please pass the salt. Not child labor. Mow the lawn. Can you operate a lawn or not? Because if you can't, that will be putting you in danger. So, inshallah. But if you are taught how to operate it, oh, go ahead. Especially if it's those big ones that I can hop on. Oh, I can do that all day. Just show me where there is grass. So, oh dear. Un momento, si vous plaît. Home Run with Helmed on Eagle FM. Thank you for tuning in.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
You are now listening
to Helmed and Dwight on Eagle FM, here to give you updates you did not know you wanted to hear until you do. Moving on. Just looking for Namibia at this point. So, here in Namibia, back in 2020, the Ministry of Gender launched a child marriage study. Now, this happened in 2020. We were in somewhere around October there. Oh, that was the height of COVID-19. Like a child marriage study. We're going to take a commercial break and we'll dive in a little bit on the other side in the remaining 16 minutes. Culture and religion at the center of it.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original or Vintook Lemon, let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
So, you've got everything sorted for tomorrow?
Yeah, man. Meat, spice, poik is ready. Even got some playlists lined up, bro.
And the crew? They're all coming, right?
Howie, everyone's in. It's gonna be lekker.
Wait. What about the tassies?
Bruh, you can't get here without Tassim, bruh. It's like Cabana without salsa, dog.
Tassimberg. Best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Welcome back. We continue in 14 minutes. On the mic set, ready, go, because we have no time. We start with 2020, then we're going to come to 2024. Now, the 2021 is the Ministry of Gender launches child marriage study, where they basically pointed out that the Ministry of Gender and Poverty Eradication at the time, before that ministry was eradicated by poverty. A favorite joke of the American or Namibian politics, poverty eradication and social welfare, well, with the support of the United Nations Population Fund, United Nations Children's Fund, and the Global Fund launched its child marriage report in 2020. The report states that the prevalence of child marriages among girls in Namibia is 18.4%, that for boys is considerably lower at 4.1% by region. And the highest prevalence of child marriage among girls was reported in, unfortunately for me, Kavango regions, plural, at 39.7%, while Kunene reported 24%, and Zambezi 23.8%, and Omaheke 23%, and Oshodonjupa 22.6%. The lowest prevalence was recorded in Oshana region, which was 7%. Shout out to Oshana region. Shout out to Oshana region. The report also stated that the sexual debut for adolescents, for adolescent girls in Namibia is between 12 and 17 years, while 17 years. While poverty, culture and tradition, early sexual debut, teenage pregnancy, alcohol abuse and lack of education opportunities were identified as key drivers of child marriages in Namibia. Get out of jail, free card. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Get out of poverty, free card. There have been situations, actually, sadly enough, where you had a teenager impregnated by someone, in an adult with a job. That I don't want to be awfully specific and risk people waiting for me at the gate with a banger. With someone with a job. And then it well, maybe even the police showed up and someone went, we'll handle this traditionally. And the poor kid was told, and the poor parents were like, okay, you know what, we don't have money to support that child that you are going to give birth to. Therefore, just don't report this case. And then, homeboy here will promise to support you. It's more of a, you know, it's amazing how that turns from, you know, from a twisted relationship, because it's very twisted, to a, what do you call, a blackmail relationship is what it sounds like. Now, if you promise to support this child, we are not going to call the Ministry of Education or Ministry of Home Affairs, Safety and Security if it's a police officer, or the Ministry of Defense if you are, I mean, the, well, it, defense. There are a lot of those agreements being reached. My two regions were just right there in the beginning, like Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. So, this is worrisome, the article says. Oh, of course. Oh, it is. Believe my region is there. Of course it's worrisome. Even if it wasn't there, I would still be worried. Relax, guys. Love all Namibians the same. I mean, my girlfriend more, but then the rest of you just the same. This is worrisome because the study also found other emerging issues of concern, which includes the high rates of cohabitation among teens and teenage pregnancies, said the minister, said the then minister of gender. Now, we need to stop these trends because these are children that we are talking about. Trends are not all talking about. Now, if you just forget all that and then just come back to the statistics at the time, you have to understand this is coming from a collabo, a global fund, UNFPA and UNICEF collabo report from 2020. The report said that the prevalence of child marriages among girls in Namibia is 18.4%. That one did not shock me. The one that shocked me was, while for boys, I was like, wait, there's a arranged marriage for boys? There's child marriage for boys? I mean, look, I know I just went, went through the Egyptian Ptolemaic dynasty marrying his a 9-year-old who married his 16-year-old in the name of, you know, you are God, power, you know, let's protect the throne type of nonsense. But really? Okay. I want to say, how does that work? But part of me doesn't want to ask that question for the sake of my sanity. Therefore, I'll just leave it there. I don't want to know. Please don't explain it to me. I don't have money for therapy. Thank you. By region, the highest prevalence of child marriage among girls was reported in the Kavango region. At the Kavango region was the Kavango regions at 39.7%. Kunene at 24%, Zambezi at 23.8%, Omaheke at 23%, Oshodunjupa at 26%, shout out to Nene. Shout out to Oshana. Much respect, Oshana. At least, well, there's a region in this country that's full of people that can tell the difference between an adult and a kid. The rest of us still need prayers. Lots of them. When I say prayers, I mean abracadabra, 24/7, fast ground-shaking prayers that we need. But thereby, child marriage for... Really? The consequences of child marriages are grave because finding indicates some cases of gender-based violence. You see, all roads lead to Rome. I'm straight. If the reason why you are pushing your child into marriage is because the man, for the most part, has is your source of income, that means that idiot can just run around and get as much STD as he wants from out there. You will be there defending him and telling your child to stay in that marriage because you don't want to lose your check. At this point, I would like to congratulate you. Parent of the century. Congratulations. I mean, or you could just have a garden and then grow potatoes like a regular adult. You could still, do that. But unfortunately, you read a lot of these stories, not just in Africa, but not just in Namibia or in Africa, but also in a lot, large parts of the Western world, of parents literally prostituting their kids to feed their drug habits. Yeah. I think Elon Musk is up to something with this whole Mars thing. Because this planet, actually there's nothing wrong with this planet. The two-legged, 32-teethed idiots that live on this planet, on the other hand, those things are, those creatures are something else. So, you have a child marriage, check. Child soldiers, check. Child labor, check. Now you understand why discussions like the ongoing session by African Committee of Experts on the Rights and Welfare of the Children. They could have just gone with the African child, but anyway, which is why I just went with the African child on my poster for those of you that saw it. If you didn't, what are you doing with your life? You are supposed to be on the Eagle FM Facebook page. Or you can subscribe to The Villager. Today is Thursday. Tomorrow is Friday. And The Villager comes out. And it's closing on the 15th. From the 15th, there is Villager. Until next year. Until next year. But you can still subscribe so you can get your weekly updates. Not weekly, actually. You are getting 3 updates a week. That's Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. All you have to do is send via WhatsApp your email address to 081-200-4144. 081-200-4144. Or just send subscribe. Don't worry. The tech guys will take it from there. 081-200-4144. So, the African continent is here talking about how can we protect these children, and it all keeps bringing us to the same thing. If you listen to this 46th session that's being held in Lesotho right now, you are going to be hearing a lot of projects that are basically running, that are tailored towards child protection in any kind of ways, from child labor. Child marriage and child soldier, combating mechanisms that have been projects that are across the continent. Most of them are not funded by us. You know what's embarrassing? the people that we cry around that they colonized us are the ones that are funding projects. Funding projects to protect the future of our leadership.
Wow.
You want to know what we are using with our, what we are using our money for? Headache, Malaysia. We hop on a plane to go to Malaysia for headache. That's us. The rest of you can just, you know, just, we have built hospitals. And anyway, the fact that the people that colonized you are the ones that are funding your development is raising a lot of questions. Look, I'm not saying say no to the money. Because after all, take for example, $200, take the $200 Namibian is just the $200 Namibian irrespective of where it's coming from or who it's coming from. It's still gonna have Hendrik Witbooi on it. And I will still use it now, I'll still use it to buy the food. And that food is not going to taste funny just because, well, it's coming from the wrong source of income. I'm not saying go and rob a bank. I'm just saying money is just money. If you take that as advice of, or more like a motivation to go and rob a bank and you get shot in the head, may your soul rest in peace. Guys, if you just do something stupid like, robbing someone and you get shot in the head or something dumb like, drinking and driving, not wearing a seatbelt and all that stuff, and you die and I know you and I show up at your funeral and I find out that's how you died. Something like that is not getting in between me and my December. I'm celebrating whether you like it or not. You'll be in hell or in heaven angry at me over why I'm not crying, over why I'm having kapana at your funeral. The bottom line is, if you saw it coming, if you contributed to it, I'm just parting after party, after party, after party. The rest is yours. Just, you know what you're doing. And for my gender, gentlemen, once you do something stupid like drinking and driving and you die, your girlfriends here shall be comforted. Netflix and chill, check while we comfort them. So, better watch that road and stay focused on the road because, that guy you call your friend is the one who will be there comforting your babe with Netflix and chill. All of a sudden, homeboy has money for ice cream. You know, once that guy takes over, he has a problem stopping. So the protection of the African child discussion taking place in Lesotho, the Kingdom of Lesotho, and it's been running from the 26th of November to the 6th of December 2025. In Maseru, Kingdom of Lesotho. And this session brought together experts, stakeholders, and representatives from across the continent to discuss the state of child rights in Africa. Oh no, the state is not good, not good, not good. As we just went through a bunch of those statistics, especially the Institute for Security Studies, with regards to child soldiers. With that, let's wrap it up. If you find yourself in Namibia, and I know I'm a human being, believe me, I compare myself a lot with a lot of people that are in a lot of developed countries, but just take, from time to time, I like to remind myself, okay, I spend the whole day comparing myself to people that are in Sweden, Netherlands, Hong Kong, Taiwan. But, and then I'm looking down at myself, oh my God, look at how terrible this is. I wish I was somewhere in the UAE. I wish I was somewhere in New York. There's someone in Sudan right now that wish they were in Namibia. They don't care which part of Namibia, wearing what or eating what. They just wish they are where you are. All they just want to be is peaceful. They wanna go a day without hearing guns blazing and bombs exploding and having to run for their lives and having to watch their loved ones being maimed by explosives. They just want peace. It's amazing how, you know, when you have peace, you start undervaluing it and start asking for more. When you lose it, that's when you realize, so I've been peaceful this whole time. So, business and economic segment takes over from here. For yours truly here, y'all have a good one. Just remember, it's December. It's December, a lot of activities, a lot of excitements, and therefore also a lot of unintended consequences as a result of those, a lot of activities and a lot of excitements. Drive safe, watch the road, don't drink and drive. And like I pointed out earlier, if you and I know each other and you just see, you know, you drink and drive and then you die at your funeral, I'm asking for kapana. Nothing is getting in between me and my December. I'm not suffering. I'm not putting my December on hold just because you drink and decided to go full Vin Diesel in a public road. That's on you. And also, I'm getting a Netflix subscription to comfort your girlfriend when you're dead with popcorns. They're very cheap. I found out last week. So drive safe and have a good one. Until tomorrow.